Welcome to the Daily Tour, brought to you by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. This almost daily summary of the 2007 Tour de France will be presented soon after the end of each day's racing, so that you can stay up to date on the world's most famous, and some would argue, most important annual cycling event. The Daily Tour is sponsored by Fredcast Tours. Fredcast Tours is the perfect companion to the Fredcast Cycling Podcast and this daily Tour de France summary. Come along with us, take in the scenery, taste the local delicacies, become steeped in the cultures, but most of all, enjoy the ride. Visit www.fredcasttours.com for more information. And now, today's daily tour brought to you by the Fredcast. Well, today is Thursday, July the 26th, 2007, and welcome to stage 17 of the Tour de France and the Daily Tour podcast. Today's stage is 188.5 kilometers with two intermediate sprints, five Category 4 climbs, and one Category 3 climb as we get into the flatter stages leading up to what should be the big showdown of the week, Saturday's individual time trial, and then on Sunday as we roll into Paris and hopefully crown a yellow jersey winner in this year's 2007 Tour de France. Just a reminder of the leaders of the race today. In the yellow jersey today, nobody. Contador is leading the general classification, but with the departure of Michael Rasmussen yesterday, it simply is not appropriate for Alberto Contador to wear the yellow jersey. Typically, you wear the yellow jersey when you've earned it, not simply when it's given to you. Just like Lance Armstrong did a few years ago when Dave Zabriskie crashed out in the team time trial and had to drop out later of the Tour de France. Armstrong was sitting in second place on that day. He did not wear the yellow jersey, and he didn't wear it until the next day after he had ridden as the leader for the day. Still sitting, however, in the green jersey is Tom Bonin from Quickstep. In the white is Alberto Contador today from Team Discovery. And in the polka dot, it's now his, Juan Mauricio Soler Hernandez from Colombia and Team Barlow World. Well, going into today's Stage 17, as the riders rolled out of the starting line, Alberto Contador was leading Cadel Evans by 1 minute and 57 seconds, and sitting in third place, Levi Leipheimer. A new race leader will be determined at the end of the race today. Now, a break formed very quickly at 5 kilometers into the race, and the riders in the lead of the stage at that point were Jens Voigt from Team CSC, Martin Elmiger from AG2R, Daniela Benatti from Lamprey, also Daniela Righi from Lamprey, Marcus Foten from Gerolsteiner, Manuel Quinziato from Liquigas, Matteo Tozzato from Quickstep, and David Miller from Sagnier Duval. At the first climb, which was just 23 kilometers into the race, the points were taken by Tozzato, then Voigt, then Foten, then Righi. And here the peloton was 1 minute 10 seconds behind the break. Now at the 30-kilometer mark, the peloton was 2 minutes behind the break. Then, at the sprint, at 44.5 kilometers into the race, first place went to Manuel Quinziato, second to David Miller, and third to David Elmiger. And here, the peloton was 2 minutes, 5 seconds behind the race leaders. The second climb came at 54 kilometers into the race, and here the points were taken by Marcus Foten, and then Matteo Tozzato, and then Martin Elmiger. Now, the peloton reached the top of this climb just 1 minute and 30 seconds behind the escapees, and it seemed to hover at that point for quite some time, because at the third climb, 59.5 kilometers in, Foten took first, Tozzato second, and Elmiger third, with the peloton 1 minute 40 seconds behind. The next climb at 63.5 kilometers into the race, Miller took first, Righi second, and Benatti third, and here the peloton was 1 minute 30 seconds back. On the fifth climb of the day, 72.5 kilometers in, Miller took first, Righi second, and Foten third. The peloton was being led by riders from Castapagna, and when they reached the top of that climb, they were 1 minute 50 seconds back. Now, right around this point was when Rabobank's rider Denis Menchov got off his bike and abandoned the Tour de France. Imagine how Menchov must have been feeling after spending 2.5 weeks working his heart out and his tail off to try to get Michael Rasmussen onto the top of the podium in Paris, only to have all of those hopes and all of that work go for naught when Rasmussen was pulled from the tour yesterday. So Menchov abandoned in the middle of today's stage. Now, as the peloton exited the feed zone at 86 kilometers in, they were 2 minutes and 30 seconds back of the break. Now, there's one other interesting thing that happened out there on the road today. At a certain point in the race, just before the final climb of the day, Cadel Evans, who was sitting in second place overall at the start of today's stage, was approached by a photographer on a motorbike. And I think Cadel felt that either the photographer was getting too close or he just didn't want him in his face at that point. There were some words exchanged, and pretty soon Cadel splashed the photographer with what was in his water bottle, trying to get the photographer to go away. So I think that the tempers were a little bit hot and the nerves were right at the surface with all of the riders today, and I think that that's evidenced by what Cadel Evans had to do to get this photographer just out of his face. Now, with 42 kilometers to go in the race, the riders went through their final intermediate sprint of the day. Benotti took first, and that makes sense. He's known for being a sprinter. Voigt second, and Elmiger third. Then, on the final climb, Jens Voigt took first place points, then Daniela Benotti, and then Marcus Foten. At this point, the peloton was 8 minutes and 20 seconds behind the race leaders. Now, on that climb, through a series of attacks and counterattacks, Voigt managed to split the lead and take just Elmiger, Benotti, and Foten with him. They opened up a gap on Tezzato and Miller, and it was now clear that one of these four would be the winner of today's stage of the Tour de France. Of that group, remember, Benotti is the one who's known for sprinting the most, so it seemed that he probably had an advantage and that Voigt was going to end up in a very similar situation than he ended up in Marseille, where he wanted to win that stage, but unless he took off and opened up enough of a lead over a guy like Benotti, he probably was not going to end up the stage winner. Now, the four played cat and mouse throughout the final kilometer, each waiting for the other to make the move, and all a bit wary of Benotti, knowing that he was the fastest man in the break. But in the end, Foten tried to make a move up the right-hand side of the road. Benotti powered past him, and Benotti took the sprint by several bike lengths over Foten. It was then Elmiger, and finally Jens Voigt across the line. When the peloton came across the line nearly 10 minutes later, it was green jersey Tom Bonin who came across first, followed by Sebastian Chavanel, Robert Hunter, Robert Forster, and Eric Zabel. So again today, first place was Daniela Benotti from Lamprey. In second, Marcus Foten from Gerolsteiner. Then in third, Martin Elmiger from AG2R. Fourth, Jens Voigt from Team CSC. David Miller from Sagnier Duval came across in fifth place, 2 minutes 41 seconds behind the race leaders. In sixth, it was Matteo Tezzato from Quickstep, 2 minutes 43 seconds back. 3 minutes 20 seconds back in seventh place today, Manuel Quinziato from Liquigas. 3 minutes 20 seconds back also was Daniela Righi from Lamprey. Then Tom Bonin was the next to come across in ninth place, 9 minutes 37 seconds back. And at the same time as Bonin, in 10th place, Sebastian Chavanel from Française du Jeux. So at the end of today's stage, the top 10 of the general classification looks like this. In the yellow jersey tomorrow, it will be Alberto Contador from Team Discovery. In second, 1 minute 53 seconds back, Predictor Lotto's Cadel Evans. In third place, 2 minutes 49 seconds back, Levi Leipheimer from Team Discovery. In fourth, Carlos Sastre is 6 minutes and 2 seconds behind Alberto Contador. In fifth, Euskaltel's Jaime Zubeldia, 6 minutes 29 seconds behind the race leader. A full 10 minutes 18 seconds behind, and in sixth place, Alejandro Valverde from Castapana. In 7th, Kim Kirkin from T-Mobile, 11 minutes 36 seconds back. In 8th, Yaroslav Popovich from Discovery, that's the third Discovery rider in the top 10 of the GC, 12 minutes 50 seconds back. In 9th, having a great ride for a young rider, Juan Mauricio Soler Hernandez from Colombia and Team Barlow World in their first Tour de France, 13 minutes 31 seconds back. And in 10th, I've talked about him a lot because I think he's also having a great tour, from Euskaltel, Mikel Astarloza, 13 minutes 42 seconds back. Still in the green jersey, Tom Bonin from Quickstep with 195 points. In the white, normally would be Alberto Contador from Discovery. He is leading that competition for the best young rider. But since he'll be wearing the yellow jersey, it would normally be his second place which is Juan Mauricio Soler Hernandez. But since he's wearing the polka dot jersey, well, then wearing the white jersey tomorrow will be Amets Chiruca from Euskaltel. He's a full 45 minutes, 54 seconds behind Alberto Contador. And again, in the polka dot jersey, Juan Mauricio Soler Hernandez from Team Barlow World with 206 points in the King of the Mountains competition. Tomorrow, Stage 18 is another relatively flat stage. It's 211 kilometers. There's two intermediate sprints and four Category 4 climbs. It looks to be another relatively calm day as the riders cool their jets and rest their legs in anticipation of Saturday's individual time trial. Well, with all of the turmoil in the Tour de France over the last few days, the listener email continues to flood in. And I thought I would just read a couple of them for you so you just get a taste of what your fellow listeners have to say. So listener Chris sent in an email, and I think he echoes a lot of what a lot of you feel. And he said, I was so looking forward to a good tour this year. It started off great. Lots of good riding and tactics, and now it's turned to crap. More explaining to my non-riding friends about all the doping and why I bother to watch it each day. Something needs to be done. I don't understand how they, the riders, continue to dope when they know they'll be caught. Don't they realize they're destroying their sport? Well, at least it looks like someone from Discovery will win now, but a black cloud will be over the tour reputation for a long time with all of this. And this is the part that I think a lot of you are feeling. He continues with, not sure if I will bother with the tour next year. Listener Duncan says, while I'm enjoying the racing this year, I have to agree with those who have commented that cycling has become like pro wrestling. To provide an example, my wife is usually completely uninterested in cycling. In fact, she likes to watch soap operas instead. Well, this year, she's absolutely fascinated by the events that have transpired. Every day when I come home, we have a spirited discussion about the tour, and she even watches it with me in the morning now. So maybe the sport of cycling has picked up a few more viewers after all, just not in the way that we all wanted. But I do believe these developments will turn out to be positive, and while I'm disappointed in the riders who have been caught, I'm heartened by the sport in a way that I haven't been with major U.S. sports. Can you imagine if baseball took doping as seriously? For example, if a baseball player tested positive for steroids, the team immediately would fire him, withdraw their team from the baseball season, and charge that player 2 years' salary? It seems unthinkable in baseball, but that is what the tour is doing. Hopefully, this all means cycling will be an example to other sports rather than a laughingstock. Listener Joe offers a similar sentiment when he says, I'm trying to take a positive tack on all of this. Seems it really could be just what the doctor ordered, a big scandal involving two of this tour's top performers so far. Now, let's go collect those fines, confirm the tests, and ban the offenders. And even though he hasn't yet tested positive, Rasmussen needs to get a long suspension for playing it so loose with the rules and getting all of those warnings. It's like one European commentary I read recently suggested, you can't give a guy 4 yellow cards before you finally show him the red one. He clearly knew what he was doing. And if a severe crackdown at this juncture fails to send a clear warning through the whole peloton that the jig is up for cheaters, then maybe pro cycling really is beyond rescue. And I got a voicemail from listener Kristen. She's actually one of the Manic Mommies from the Manic Mommies podcast and a relatively frequent contributor to the Fredcast Cycling podcast. And I think that she offers a parent's perspective on everything that's going on. So here's listener Kristen from the Manic Mommies.
Hi, David. This is Kristen from the Manic Mommies. And I am calling because I've been listening on and off to your daily tour coverage and watching the tour with my husband, and I wanted to say, as a non-cyclist, I guess I need to vent for a second, as a non-cyclist, but married to a Fred, and a mom with a young child who I have been encouraging to take up bicycling, I am just really terribly disappointed in professional cycling right now, disheartened even, with the Vinokourov issue and now Rasmussen and all of these cyclists being caught for doping. I just think it's terrible for the sport. It's terrible for parents who might have wanted to look to athletes like cyclists as good role models for our children. And obviously we're seeing it in sport after sport after sport, and it's just, I'm so disappointed, and I can even see in my husband how disappointed he is. Someone who grew up watching the tour, someone who grew up with cyclists, professional cyclists as his role models, to watch this new group of cyclists and the troubles that they're having with doping, it's just very frustrating. I am, however, encouraged by the fact that tour sponsors and tour organizers are cracking down, and hopefully this will start to make a difference, and it will start to get through those thick-skulled cyclists that it's time to make a change. Anyway, keep up the great work as always, and I will see you on the Podosphere.
Thanks, Kristen, for your voicemail. And I've mentioned Kristen's show on the Fredcast before, but here on the Daily Tour, it's probably the first time. It's the Manic Mommies Podcast. Whether you're a mommy or a daddy, if you've got kids, there's a lot to learn on the show with Kristen and Aaron, and I recommend that you listen to it. You can find it at www.manicmommies.com. Thanks again for the voicemail, Kristen. I appreciate it. And finally, I got a long email from a longtime listener and a good friend of the show. This is from listener Noreen. Noreen runs a cycling team, Team Rubicon, up in the Northwest. And as a team director, she's got some very unique perspectives on exactly what all of this might mean for her team. Now, this email is a bit long, but I think that it's worth reading. And here's what Noreen had to say. As team director for a small team based out of Portland, Oregon, the whole drug scandal and media coverage surrounding it does have a direct trickle-down effect on small teams such as mine. Teams that do the right thing, make the right choices, pay a heavy price by not being able to pick up the much-needed sponsorship to keep our programs running. Now, this is only my experience, so I can't speak for anyone else. This year has been a hard year for us, as it has been extremely difficult to find sponsorship to fund our team. So much so that my husband and I have been spending a lot of our own personal money to keep the team rolling in the hopes that maybe in 2008, the drug scandal coverage would die down some and corporations would once again look to cycling as a good investment for advertising dollars. But a lot of companies have been tainted with the idea that all cyclists that race in the elite or pro level are dopers, and this simply is not true. I know this, most of your listeners know this, but since all the media coverage on the tour, the general public just assumes if you race well and win, you must be taking something. A couple examples that I've personally experienced this year go like this. And just for some basic background on our team, we run a small under 23 development team out of Portland, Oregon that works with talented young athletes from the US, New Zealand, and Australia. These guys live with me and my husband, so we know what they do on and off the bike. No secrets in a house of seven. One day in May, we went for a team ride. The team was kitted up in team clothing, and a group of people on the side of the road that saw us go by yelled, "Dopers!" The group was your average day youth just hanging out, chatting on a sidewalk. Now, where would they get that impression of cyclists if it weren't plastered all over the news? Example number two, I took our talented young team to Canada to BC Super Week, and to my surprise, a very nice 85-year-old woman asked myself and one of my young riders, quote, "What are you on?" As if the young guys are good, they must be taking something. My guys are good because they ride their bikes 30 hours a week. It's their job. No drugs, lots of veggies, but no drugs. These are the comments that I've noticed in the last year. And if the general public are saying things like this, imagine the difficulty of selling your team to a corporate sponsor. It's extremely difficult because a lot of sponsors don't want their name associated with a drug-related sport. I asked my young guys what they think about the whole thing, and most of them feel the same. Catch the cheaters, the dopers, but do it in private. Do not make a huge media circus out of it because it hurts the future of cycling and the future of my young cyclists. Because with the rising cost of entry fees and travel, without the corporate sponsors to support young teams, a lot of really talented people will not get the opportunity to make a difference in cycling. She goes on to say, Dave, you know my team. We go the extra mile. We work with the Lance Armstrong Foundation and U23 Development. We're currently ranked number 20 on the NRC calendar and have beaten the pro teams at some NRC events. So it's not like we don't have a good track record. We do, and we're having a hard time finding investors. I can only imagine what other teams are going through. I feel that if the media doesn't back off soon and let the sport of cycling heal, then we could be killing our own sport that we love so much. That's my two cents anyway. Okay, that's more like a nickel, but I'm a frustrated team director that has a great group of guys who go out and make a difference in the communities in which they race, and yet they're being punished by all the drug scandals that are constantly in the news of late. Sad, sad times we live in. Well, Noreen, I have to agree with you, but sometimes we have to hit bottom before we can start rising back up to the top, and I personally believe that this Tour de France is the bottom, that this is where the tide turns. And this is when the one race when we've caught cheater after cheater, literally after cheater, and now everyone's eyes are open that you can't get away with it. And now is the time that the tide turns. And I believe that if you sell that to your corporate sponsors, and if you sell them on the value of your team and on the fact that your team is drug-free, then I think that we will be able to turn the corner and cycling will gain back the respect that it so richly deserves. And we'll all be able to go back out into the world, talk about the sport we love with our heads held high. Pipe dream? I hope not. We'll find out tomorrow when we look at the next stage of the Tour de France, and hopefully it will be as calm a day as today, yet with some good racing. We'll see you all then. That's it for today's episode of the Daily Tour Podcast. If you'd like to comment on the show, please send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com or send a voicemail to area code 206-203-FRED. Be sure to follow the frequent live updates of the day's racing via Twitter. The Twitter username is Daily Tour. There's no space between daily and tour. And you can sign up for these updates at twitter.com. That's twitter.com. And please check out our website at www.thefredcast.com. I'll see you all again tomorrow for another episode of the Daily Tour Podcast, brought to you by The Fredcast and Fredcast Tours. Thanks for listening.